as I said, Saints Cyril and Methodius have been forced backstage by the popular culture's fascination with Valentine's Day. It's a little unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So since it is Valentine's Day, it's probably worth our time to reflect a little bit on what's going on here. Valentine's Day, which in its positive aspect is a celebration of friendship, and particularly the friendship that arises between men and women, usually young men and women, courtship, love. It's a celebration of love. Who could be against that? No one is against that. I mean, that would, none of us would be here if that were not part of the human experience, a beautiful part. But because modern culture is so fragmented and in disarray, it exaggerates things. Some things which are part of human experience are taken to be the whole of human experience. So in this case, this condition of being in love is taken to be the peak of the human experience, as if that's the goal. So I've kind of forgotten about Valentine's Day, and yesterday I met with a number of people for whom it's very important, but I wasn't even thinking about it, so my mistake. But you see, what happens is, if it becomes the goal to be in love, then if you're not in love, there's something wrong with you. And that's how young people are being instructed by the culture. Well, you have to be in this emotional state, and if you're not, there's something wrong with you, so find someone. It also leads to use of people, because to say, I'm in love with you, is not really saying anything about you. It's a statement about my emotional state. I'm in love with Mary Sue. Well, Mary Sue might not even know I exist, but I'm talking about this high feeling, which is a beautiful, but it's a passing experience. So to take some part of the continuum of the human journey and make it the whole is a big disaster. I could compare it to the people who love ice cream, and because they love ice cream so much, they eat ice cream all the time. Well, there's nothing wrong with ice cream. In fact, it's a nice treat you have at the end of a meal once in a while. In a balanced life, no problem. But to make it the whole of your diet is a disaster. Look at today's first reading, but St. James mentions flowers. I think this is exactly on the point. He says that the rich man will pass away like the flower of the field. Now, flowers are beautiful, and everybody knows it, but that's not the whole life of a plant. If all there were flowers, there wouldn't be anything else. Flowers are part of the life cycle. What happens to flowers? Well, just like the rich man, the sun comes up with its scorching heat and dries up the grass, its flower droops, and the beauty of its appearance vanishes. And it's supposed to happen like that in flowers. The flowers are supposed to blossom, be beautiful, and then wilt, and then dedicate their beauty to the generation of seeds for the next generation. That's how flowers have a very good purpose. So will the rich person fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Well, this is now shifting to away from Valentine's Day and into wisdom about human life, and especially the Christian life. It's a disaster for us if we take any earthly thing and make it the goal of our life. That's what it means to be rich in the negative sense, like a rich man. A rich man is the one who clings to some earthly good, whether it's money or status or being in love or ice cream or flowers or whatever it is. It's something that is a small good exaggerated into the whole. And the result is always a disaster. That's why in yesterday's gospel, Jesus said, "Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are rich, you have received your consolation." If that's all you are focused on, that's all you will have. And when it fades away, then you have nothing. This is what happens with Valentine's Day. If your whole goal is to be in love, well, when you're not in love, then you have nothing. And that's the sad condition of many people who think that because they're not in love, they have nothing. And there's a lot of depression in young people now. And on this day in particular, a lot of young people, college-age people or high school, college, who are convinced that there's something wrong with them because they're not in love or because nobody loves them, well, then that's the end of the world. And that's what leads to so many other disorders. Okay. Let's take a little closer look at these readings. In the Gospel, the Pharisees are arguing with Jesus and demanding a sign. This is another kind of richness. They're not talking about money, but they're in control, and they want to determine the rules by which the game is played. So Jesus, if you're going to present yourself as a teacher, then you have to do this. That's a kind of richness. What about listening to what Jesus says? What about being open to something that you don't have or you're not in control of? That's poverty. Poverty of spirit is to not be in control. It's to let God be in control. But anyway, the Pharisees, like rich men, are demanding what they want. Give us a sign. It's probably connected to that passage in John's Gospel where the Pharisees told Jesus, "What sign will you show us? Moses gave us manna from heaven." Remember that passage. The idea is, if you're going to be a new Moses, well, then you have to give us a new manna. There's something partly true about it. The only problem is, they weren't really following the old Moses, and they weren't ready to accept the new manna either. Remember what happens in the passage right before this demand for a sign. We heard it on Saturday. Jesus fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves. That's a pretty big sign. It's a miraculous sign. In fact, it's a new manna. Here's someone who provides bread in abundance. How many signs do you want? So that's why Jesus says to them, after sighing deeply, "Why does this generation seek a sign? What do they really want here? Look, they're not going to accept a sign anyway." It's like, going back to the flower imagery, it's like saying, these people want an abundant harvest, but all they really want is flowers. They want more flowers, but they don't want the flower to produce its fruit. They don't want the plant to grow. They just want what they want. And that's what they want. Their desire for the sign is not for the message that the sign conveys or for the meaning that it's intended to give or for the revelation of the giver. They're cutting off the flower. They don't want anything else. And so Jesus says, "Well, I'm not going to give you any sign. It won't do any good anyway. I just multiplied 7 loaves, fed 4,000 people. Here you are demanding a sign." What's on display here is this attitude of richness that was in yesterday's gospel, or the yesterday's gospel had the same contrast between poverty and richness that James talks about in this reading. there's something great about being poor. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are you when you're poor. Blessed are you when you are open to receiving what God wants to give, including the signs that God gives, and he does give many signs. Blessed are you who are poor, because if God wants to give you flowers, you welcome flowers. If he wants to give you fruit, he gives you, you welcome fruit. If he wants to give you a drought, you say, "Well, Lord, I trust in you." It's not a demand that God do what we want. Poverty of spirit is a, you could almost say, a demand that God do what he wants. I will fix my will only on what you want, Lord. That's poverty of spirit. And richness, in this gospel language, is to be so full of something that I'm attached to. My will, my desire, my emotional state, my possessions, my control, whatever it is. It's not more, it's obviously more than money. It's that attitude that if it goes to an extreme, excludes God. That's richness. That's why Jesus says, "Woe to you. Woe to you if you're rich. Woe to you if you exclude God." Because then you don't have anything at all. The people with that attitude are the poorest, the most pathetic people of all. And we see a lot of evidence of this kind of pathetic condition in our times because of the exclusion of God. So Jesus says, no sign will be given to this generation. That's just his way of trying to shake the Pharisees out of their richness. It's not true that God gives us no signs. Everything is a sign to the poor. Everything is a sign of God's generosity, his patience, his mercy, his goodness, and we have to have eyes and hearts open to see it. So with this celebration of Valentine's Day, let's, celebrate friendship, celebrate love, celebrate the beauty of love between men and women, yes, but not limit it to what we want it to be or what the world determines it to be. Let's welcome every gift that God gives, every sign that God gives, because everything God gives draws us to him, and he's love.